I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mm. Have you seen that Grobbler advert where he gets out of the fridge when he does that?
No.
That's,
Oh, my neck.
I just did a Grobbler wobble and I met my neck.
He's injured himself doing an impression of Bruce Grobbler. That is superb. Is it sore? It looks quite
sore. Who could have predicted that? Not even Bruce.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't we all love football, and that's why we're here. Ramblers!
Yes.
Welcome to the football ramble.
Ramble Force Engage.
Listeners, you've made it once again, and for that I salute you. Pete Donaldson is here.
Yes, I am.
Lukey Moore is here.
All right.
James or Jim is not.
Oh, James or Jim.
He's in the capital of Scotland.
Edinburgh.
Yep.
Glad someone mentioned it. Because I wouldn't have known.
He's doing some comedy things up there, so if you're up there, go and see him at some venues at some time.
But
somewhere.
We're doing some comedy down here.
Absolutely.
Not really. Loosely defined.
The Community Shield just happened, and Patrice Evra looked as though he feigned an injury. That is the inspiration for the opening question. What's the most ridiculous feigned injury? Because we don't have favourites. We don't like that type of behaviour.
No, we're all equal.
Absolutely. In my eyes.
For me, and I know you're probably going to be annoyed because you want to say this one yourself, no doubt, it's got to be Rivaldo in the World Cup.
2002.
Where the ball hits him about knee high. Not very hard. And he goes down like a cheap whore.
That was the one near the flag.
In the corner.
The flag.
The flag. I just worry about the flag. I didn't want to be near the flag.
It was absolutely ridiculous. And he got the man sent off.
I was going to say, what was the fallout from that? Did the guy get a red card?
He did.
Sickening him.
to the bone.
What a beautiful talent. What a shoddy gentleman.
Are you talking about me?
No, Rivaldo. Oh, okay. it could be applied to you as well.
Nonsense.
You're a beautiful mind. He's a beautiful talent.
Thanks very much. Peter, hit me with yours.
Hey, surprise, surprise. I've got a Newcastle player for you.
Always a Newcastle one. It's what we come to expect.
But it's not. It's the sort of situation that everybody found hilarious except me. I thought it was a bit... So, why is everyone concentrating on that? Stephen Taylor, where the ball hit him on the arm. Or rather, he went to dive and save the ball.
Yeah.
And then he sort of feigned a gunshot wound.
Where he flipped over and grabbed his stomach. That was absolutely unbelievable. Because obviously he was trying to con the referee that it hit his stomach.
Yeah, so he wouldn't get sent off.
Yeah, it didn't work.
No. He instantly abandoned any claim that he had, though, to his, well, credit.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't continue it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mine is... Do you remember Champions League, AC Milan?
Oh, Dida, against Celtic.
Against Celtic.
Yeah,
when the fan ran on and gave him a little kind of pat on the arm, as if, was it the peck?
Yeah.
And just say, cheers for the goal, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
And he thought,
I'm not having this.
No. What can I do to take the attention off me?
Yeah.
In front of 60,000 people who have just celebrated something that I've messed up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down.
Yeah, I'm going down.
Even his teammates, I think it was Seedorf, came up and went, yeah.
Come on.
He was a disgrace or whatever he said.
Honourable mentions to Lehman and Drogba.
Oh, yes. Any time Jens has got to be mentioned.
That was good. But listen, there's no Jimbo this week. I've got to find the points. I've mustered the points this week.
Through default, Lukey Moore, you've won the point.
The champions!
Here we are. You're not safe from relegation, though.
Well, so 3 points on the board. Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't get any points for winning the Charity Shield, though, do you?
It's the Community Shield now.
Yeah. That's an absolute clagger.
Yeah, yeah. Have some of that. Research. Get on it.
You do.
Get your head on. Me and Pete are always on, aren't we, Pete?
I'm never off, mate. I don't even know what that word means.
Pete's wearing a T-shirt today with bully on the front.
Yeah.
What, as in... like bullseye kind of bully.
You can't beat a bit of bully.
No. No.
He's not having that.
Not that.
No. Yeah, Community Shield, Chelsea won it. Good game.
I enjoyed it, actually. I didn't expect.
I can't even went a bit bruisey there, so we're going
to
get a good game.
It's always a little bit tasty when Manchester United are involved, I think. They always like to win.
Yeah, yes. But it's Chelsea-Liverpool, which is normally sort of suicidally boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Man United Chelsea. It was a better game than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was.
May not have scored in the final minute of injury time, didn't they? Which was a good finish as well by Rooney, actually.
He was offside, though. Probably just... Yeah. He was really pleased, Rooney, when he scored...
Yeah, but I love that. He gave a bit to the crowd, didn't he? The Chelsea fans.
Already getting a little bit spicy.
It was nice to see him, how he was going to play. He was playing a little bit more withdrawn than when Ronaldo sort of took
He looked to get amongst it more, which is awesome.
More the number 10 role that perhaps he has for England. It was funny. It kind of reminded me slightly of the Champions League final where they were in, because United bossed it early on.
Yeah.
And then Chelsea came back and looked as though they were going to win it in normal time. Of course, they did.
It was good to see Ferguson get so incredibly angry.
He was.
It's the Charity Shield, calm it, that community.
Well, he didn't get where he was today by not being a winner, Pete. He's the sort of man that gets competitive about everything, I expect. I thought the referee had a bit of a poor game, actually. I thought he was a bit inconsistent, and he missed that...
Well, the Evra business.
Was he playing a... he looked like a bit of a nasty one. He didn't go back and book back.
I thought Evra went down far too easy. I didn't think he got hit in the face.
I initially thought that, and then I saw the replay, and I thought, actually,
his elbow touched his face. It was
More of a shoulder, wasn't it?
But it was a foul, though.
Yeah, it was a foul.
Yeah. I think the trouble is, though... With that one is if the referee stops it and pulls the game all the way back. But then United did have the ball. He went to Rooney and Rooney passed it on.
Well, the United players just seemed to, half of them seemed to sort of stop, and they got caught massively 3-on-2, didn't they?
But Ferguson was going mental after the game. He was sort of saying, well, that's what you expect from Chelsea, don't you? he's loving it. He's already started. Yeah. I think, is he breaking in Ancelotti? Is he hammering him? Yeah. I don't know.
I think he's welcome to the Premier League.
Ancelotti, this is how your lot play.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
So don't start messing us around with your nice guy image.
Your shit.
Yeah. Which he has got, actually. Ancelotti, everyone talks about... Very highly of him being a good bloke.
He likes restaurants, apparently.
Does he? Don't we all, Pete?
Yeah. No, we do.
He's got an impeccable pedigree.
McDonald's, Burger King.
You text me, Jamie Redknapp.
Oh, yeah. Like, Carlo Ancelotti, 2 European Cups as a player, 2 as a manager, learnt his trade under Arrigo Sacchi. You know, he's done quite a lot of stuff. Compared to Jamie Redknapp, he's done quite a lot of stuff. And Redknapp spent the whole half-time talking about how he needs to adapt his formation to accommodate Frank. Yeah, get Frank on the ball more.
To be fair, though, I thought he actually did. Because he plays a diamond, Ancelotti.
But I don't know what's worse, when Redknapp tries to offer some sort of tactical analysis or when he doesn't. Because when he doesn't, it annoys me because he's not doing anything. When he does, it makes it worse.
Yeah, it's a catch-20.
His analysis...
Are you trying to say he shouldn't be there?
Well, his analysis before the game is literally the start and finish of his analysis before the game was, I'm just looking forward to seeing some new faces. Oh, fucking brilliant. We're all here to entertain you, Jamie. So, I hope you enjoy yourself, mate. Yeah, fine.
I just want some new subscribers.
What was he talking... Who was he describing then when he says he wants to see some new faces?
Well, just Zhirkov, who didn't sort of play.
I thought he meant like people he was working with. We've got a new stagehand, floor manager.
Yeah, he's a lovely little floor manager.
I want to play wee baller with all of you lot.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And in your words, Pete, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Were his trousers tight? I didn't see that.
But the thing that makes it worse is you come off the back of a test match, and Sky Sports test match cricket is magnificent coverage, brilliant, really, really well done. And then you go
really
from
well
that
done, boys.
Just to unmitigated shit. And I'll tell you now, I've made excuses for Martin Tyler up until now.
Yeah,
but I'm no longer.
Not to me, you haven't.
No longer. Get out of Andy Gray's pocket and do your job properly. I'll tell you, because you'll be spared no longer.
No one's safe, Pete.
No.
God, he'll do chill over there.
You're either at the devil's side or you're in his fucking path, pal. That's what I say.
Put your sword back in your skin.
It's not my sword.
Other football that was played, a Championship and...
And League One, League Two.
Yeah, all them.
Let's
all them.
Forget them.
The one that's got to stand out is Norwich City.
That's their worst ever home defeat.
Smashed 7-1 at home.
I just like they didn't go. They still couldn't go bottom because of Southampton.
Yeah, of course.
They got hammered 7-1 and they're still not bottom on the first.
That's got to be so open into the season. The goalkeeper.
That was his first match.
No. Kevin Lisby ripped him to pieces. And Kevin Lisby's ex Ipswich as well.
He was having a great time.
He was. And I think he might have gone to Norwich on loan as well, actually. But the keeper was awful. Defensively, they were terrible.
They needed a half time team talk from Delia.
Couple of the goals were decent. One of them was hell of a free kick.
Did you see the first one where it just looped over the top of the
Yeah, what was he doing? No man's land. Absolutely no man's land.
I tell you, talking of headers though, what about Hayter?
That was a bullet.
It wasn't a bullet.
No, but it wasn't.
It was a looping header.
It wasn't that looping though. You can give him some credit.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a bullet though.
You could practically see the neck muscles sort of snapping.
This was Doncaster
versus it was 1-0. Yeah, go away to Watford.
Great header though. It was just inside the box.
Yeah, he'll be happy.
Because you were saying to me, where did you see a header scored outside the box?
Yeah.
I said Basil Boli for Marseille.
Long time ago. You're going back to 91, 92 round that sort of time.
Great diving header it was. I think that was outside. It might have been just inside.
Yeah.
I can't think of it as a header.
You don't get an awful lot, to be honest.
Not a proper header.
I scored one for my Sunday League team.
From outside the area, Pete?
From nearly. I think it was on the half circle thing that nobody actually uses.
Yeah, Well, that's for penalties, Pete. Yeah.
No, is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't go inside that in penalties.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
yes,
come on, right. Son. Hey, get your head on. Yeah.
You rarely use it.
But yeah, if you have indeed scored a goal with your head from the edge of the area, that's very impressive.
The German guy who is on the team, he said, "You are scoring goals like an angel." Yes. Lovely.
Excellent.
He's a doctor.
The weekend's football in the Football League, and I'm not being patronised or anything, though. We probably don't talk about it as much as we should, but it was superb.
Yeah. It was a 3-2, a 5-0, a 7-1, a 4-0.
It's all over the place.
Michael Schopper has got a cracker for Cardiff.
He did as well, yeah.
It was great.
I'll tell you, Notts County started well, 5-0.
Immediate impact.
It annoys me that Sven got all the credit for that, because apparently 8 of the 9 signings that played were signed before Eriksen took over.
Well, Sven's always going to get the credit for that.
Yeah, true.
But
Lee Hughes scored a... got a hat trick and did that terrible dance. I don't know whether that's new.
I don't like dancing.
It's not the worst thing he's done.
I don't like Lee Hughes.
If you're not Roger Miller, I'm not interested.
Yeah. It's a bit familiar.
Honourable mentions for Careca. World Cup 90 Brazilian striker Careca.
I remember in the cup. It was
a lovely little samba dance.
It's a bit cliched, samba in Brazil.
All right, fine.
Did you see, I think it was the final goal, Maloney, the defender, he dribbled his way into the box and top left.
That was a brilliant goal. Yeah, defender as well, and it's a great finish.
We don't need the premiership anymore.
Screw it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even remember.
The who?
Tim Lovejoy, telecast.
Well, what I was going to say about Championship football was that Championship football and below is that actually... the fact that if you think about it now, league football is going to be on air to an awful lot of people this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think of a game like Newcastle West Brom or another big game in the Championship or even a game in League One, if you think of Norwich versus someone who get big attendances, if you look at the viewing figures for a game on free-to-air television on the BBC for someone like West Brom Newcastle or Norwich Southampton or someone like that, it'll be bigger than a Blackburn Portsmouth game on Sky. Absolutely no question. So the fact that people aren't sponsoring teams in the Football League is a bit of a faux pas, I think. I think you should get involved. Some of the attendances, I mean, if you take the biggest attendances in League One, without question, they're all going to be bigger than the bottom three or four attendances in the Premier League. Well, I'd like to know the last time that happened. I tell you, because Pompey won't get any fans. Fulham don't really get anyone. Wigan.
Well, I don't know. Fulham now, because they're...
Well, their stadium's not big enough.
Well, they're successful. They still get 25,000.
All right, bad example then. But if you think of Blackburn, Wigan, Portsmouth, those sort of sides.
Yeah, I can see your point.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's in a way, in an odd way, certainly in terms of attendance, and hopefully by what we've seen the last weekend is anything to go by quality of football as well, it's starting, maybe in a weird way, starting to even itself out, which is great.
I think we can also
against all odds as well.
And it seems that the BBC are kind of doing the coverage properly. They're splitting it. If you want to see the goals for a particular match, they're sticking it on the on individual files on iPlayer and stuff. And it's a great way back. And the roundup was all right as well.
I enjoyed the roundup. I enjoyed all of them actually. They were all pretty good.
I think thumbs up to them.
Yeah, well done,
Newcastle, Pete.
Yeah, it was.
To be fair, I think that's a good point.
Because I mean, we had a Premiership referee. We had a Premiership team to play. An ex Premiership team to play. It was very much.
He's breaking them in gently.
We'll see how Jonas Gutierrez does next week.
Well, he's interested. There's a bit of interest from Greece.
Well, I mean,
he looked poor.
Well, yeah, he did, but I think he wasn't enjoying the level of protection that he might have expected.
We should have thought about that when he helped him get relegated last season, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think we played well. It was a strong point, I thought. But it worries me a little bit that any player that plays very well, I'm looking at Krull, I'm looking at...
Were you happy with the keeper's performance? I think you got
it. I think so. He's very young, he looks a bit flappy, but... Yeah, I mean,
he's 21 or something, isn't he? He's not that old.
Exuberant.
So. It's his first league game for Newcastle.
Exuberant. He reminds me of Shaq Hislop in many ways. He's very, very tall. He's got a hell of a reach.
So I'm pretty sure that was his first league game. He was at Falkirk on loan, wasn't he? Was he at Carlisle or somewhere like that? He was definitely another league club on loan as well.
Yeah,
he played quite a few games.
He's definitely Falkirk. He's definitely an excellent. Wherever he's gone, he's on loan.
Played well.
Very, very well.
So he'll be in line to play next week, will he? How long's Harper out for?
I think Harper will be all right. It's good to see Shorami will be getting amongst it, kicking the goalkeeper in the head.
He's the biggest talent blag of all time. What's he still doing?
But it was good to see Niall Ranger get his league debut as well. I keep on yapping about it.
You keep sending me YouTube clips of Niall Ranger. Yeah. It's got to stop.
I can't help it. Yeah. I'm a little bit obsessed.
I got a little prediction which says that David James is going to look like Superman this season because Pompey are so bad and will probably get the first choice England spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to get a lot of ball time.
He is. Damn straight.
Could be a good one to put in your dream team because of the saves.
No? Think of the goals conceded.
But think of the saves.
Speaking of which, we are doing a football fantasy football league. Look it up on Facebook or whatever it is that you can see the codes to join our league.
Mm. Absolutely. Jack Wilshire. Fabio Capello said, if he plays regularly, I quite like that, lad.
Yeah.
You never know, Jack.
Talk of him being the next Rooney. He's sort of like that, sort of in the hole. He's been farmed out a little bit wider for Arsenal, but he does play in the hole. He says that's his best position.
Well, does he?
Yeah, but he does.
I'd have thought, like James said, maybe a bit more of a Joe Cole type.
But I'd like to see Wilshere play some more. He's played...
Of course you'd like to.
Seven or eight games for Arsenal now, only
he's
one league
against
game.
Against Rangers in the pre-season.
Was he? Okay.
Tournament,
He's only played one league game for Arsenal, I believe. He scored a goal for them in the Cup. I think he's played about seven or eight games totally.
I'd like to see him actually play some proper time, because Wenger sometimes he gives him a Carling Cup game here and a little game there, and everyone's like, come on!
He did the same with Walcott, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is, you're staring down, if you do that, then, okay.
I understand he doesn't want to absolutely blast the kids.
Well, it's not just that, but if you're in a situation where three of your first choice four midfielders are Cesc Fabregas, Theo Walcott, and Jack Wilshere, that's ridiculous. That's far too young if you're going to compete at that level. So he's got, in a way, he's hampered by the other young players in the side. That's the problem. If you put him in a vastly experienced midfield, like, for example, the Scholes and Geese United midfield, this might be a little bit of a different kettle of fish. But you do understand his reticence to sort of put him in, because you put a lot of pressure on a lot of young shoulders.
No, but I understand what you're saying, but just Wenger, you know what he's like.
But why?
3-0 up at home against Portsmouth, bring him on the last 15 or something.
Well, why not do that?
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think he will.
Okay, but
going on what he's like Peter said with Walcott.
Point taken.
I understand what you're saying about that. But someone like Cesc Fabregas, you can't consider him what you would refer to as a young player.
He's an experienced player, to be fair. Yeah. Like, it's probably a bit of a midpoint.
There's a difference between like how Wenger deals with stuff and how Moyles dealt with Rooney, for example. You know what I mean? He'd say, I don't want to burn him out, but he would play him. You know what I mean? He'd give him 90 minutes. He'd give him 70
that's true.
Minutes.
That is true. I just think that Capello said that if Jack Wilshere plays a lot this season, then he may be in the England squad for the World Cup. What the fuck does Arsenal Mayor care about that?
No, I'm not saying, oh, therefore, come on, Wenger, play it.
I think Wenger will do the best he can for whatever Arsenal need. I just think...
I just like to see him play, because I think Arsenal... Yeah, I mean, they've not got a lot.
I mean, don't forget, if he doesn't play this season, it's not the end of the world, Wilshere.
You're listening.
In fact, maybe a bit unfair of Capello to say that.
I didn't see the interview. I didn't see
it. It's something for him to aim for.
Something for us all to aim for.
If he's not going to work hard, where will it get him? That's what I said.
He's been encouraged by the great man.
Yeah, a G up.
Barry Ferguson's had a rant about the SFA, and this was to do with him being banned by the Scotland national team, playing for the Scotland national team, about the V's and the drinking.
The SFA have gone too far, and they know they've gone too far. That's what they tried to say the other week.
Ferguson,
the door's not closed.
I think Ferguson, when it first happened, he's obviously going to apologise, and now he's kind of like, do you know what, sod you. He said he labelled them a joke. He's probably right too, but they did it. They told him that he was never going to play for the Scottish national team. He's been capped 45 times.
He's been their captain as well.
He's been captain. They told him, they sent a fax to the Rangers training ground. And it was the same statement that they put out to the media.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
But listen, the boys made a mistake.
Dear Barry at the top in Byron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just interchangeable.
No phone call, no nothing. Nothing.
It's unbelievable because let's
the Scottish Football Association did that.
You'd at least expect the phone call from the manager.
A fax? Who faxes anymore, Peter? Yeah.
Who goes too far by fax? That's why. Yeah,
exactly. Well, they do, obviously.
Rarely anybody goes too far by fax. No.
It's not a medium I feel comfortable with on an emotive issue. I prefer the more personal touch of a carrier pigeon.
Pete, you were adopted. Yeah. Also, would you like some printer ink?
Yeah.
A text at least.
They've gone too far. They've overreacted to such an extent where it's just become a bit of a joke. He's done something wrong. Like he said, though, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, you know, I've not punched a referee. Yeah. I've just got a bit drunk and come in late, and then I've stuck two fingers, I've done something stupid. I don't think that will warrant a life ban.
At least, I bet you wish he did punch a referee now.
What, get his money? Well, no, he can't say that, eh?
No. I don't want him to punch a referee ever.
You've got a responsibility to the children listening to this show.
Maybe fax a picture of a fist to a referee, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm going to fax you a fist, innit?
A couple of signings have happened recently, big ones. Well, there's more than a couple,
yeah.
But the ones that catch the eye. Aquilani to Liverpool.
Has he definitely signed now?
Yeah. He's passed his medical, even though he's injured.
Which is a miracle in itself.
He's got a bad ankle. How do you pass a medical if you've got a bad ankle?
Well, you just sort of if you're injured. You? How do you pass the fit and proper person's test in the Premier League, Peter?
Well, Aquilani is evidently a replacement for Alonso. But what I would say is he plays a bit further up the pitch than Alonso.
Well, he is, yeah. He's not... I think he's all action, is he not?
I'll have to confess, I've only seen him play in the Italian side against Spain in the Euros.
Well,
last season.
Filled in for Gattuso.
Right,
and,
okay.
Was it Pirlo?
Yeah. Play? Well, he can't play, but the thing is with Aquilani is he can't stay fit. He played about 14 games last season, didn't he? He can't stay fit.
And
he's injured now, like
and
Peter.
He's a fan of Mussolini.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Apparently there were some strange questions asked towards him. So I was saying, you made some comments about Mussolini being a bit good. And they said, oh, my uncle gave me a statue. So he owns a statue of Mussolini.
Oh, my God.
Terrible statue.
I just like them just blaming it on his uncle. The sins of the uncles. Yeah.
It's a one I felt obliged to keep it.
Yeah, and pray to it. It's a allegedly. It's a woeful statue.
You haven't seen it.
Well, the other one is Huntelaar to Milan, isn't it?
Which yeah, Huntelaar to Milan. That's
well, you like that because it's like the tradition of Dutch players going to Milan.
Well, I like Huntelaar.
Yeah.
His scoring record's fabulous.
And his nickname's the Hunter.
Will we see him on... Will we see
it is.
It must be. Surely.
It is. Isn't it? There is the Hunter. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. He scored something like 13 goals in 23 games for Holland.
He's a good player. He's just been treated terribly by Real.
That's kind of one of the pieces of evidence I'm giving to suggest that.
Is that sort of what we're talking about?
He's only scored 13 goals in 23 appearances. Yeah.
No, after the way he was treated at Madrid, he deserves a chance.
He scored like 8 in 20 for Madrid.
Yeah.
It's not bad for a player who didn't really... Well, he treated badly and didn't play.
Get involved, yeah. No, absolutely. And his record before that has always been superb.
Yeah,
so,
really good player. Again, that just stamps the point home about Madrid, that they're...
Classless.
Not a very nice bunch.
Classless.
I like Huntelaar because he looks like a friend at school that was called Stephen Watt, who ironically would refuse to play football when asked.
Oh!
Really?
Yeah. That's an interesting
He's got all those faces
picture.
That can't grow beards. They just have like quite.
Don't know what
red...
you're talking about.
You know those boys that grow up and they never grow a beard and they just have sort of like sort of quite.
Yeah,
red
I'm looking at one.
No, I can grow
I'll
a little
to
bit
Pete's
of stubble.
Defense.
I can my beard defense. He's got one of those faces that are really slightly red on the side.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't like that.
Whoa.
Stephen Watt, whoa. Change.
Why are we talking about this?
What?
Because it's relevant. My fantasy football team is called Sporting Beards.
Is it? Mine's called The Nuge Is My God.
Yeah.
Can you change your name from, like, last season?
The best one I've seen is Fritzl's Palace.
Oh, no.
What about Graham Rix's under-16?
Oh, someone
else chose that.
Because last year there was Crystal Phallus.
Yeah.
And this year there's Fritzl's Palace.
I wonder
Palace.
If Borussia Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to be back?
They'd be welcome back. They'd be welcome back. Yeah, get involved with the fantasy football. The guy who won last year, Colm Collins, has actually asked for a signed photo of us for his prize. Yeah, yeah.
That's quality.
We've got to have photos.
No, no, we've got to get one done.
Yeah.
Emails.
He's not lying, ladies and gentlemen. It's the emails.
Who wants to go first then, Peter or you?
One
Marcus?
Of you slags can go first.
Peter, go on, son. Oh, go on, son.
Go on, Peter.
All right, then. Give us the ball. Chaps, after seeing many pundits write off each of the top four on several occasions, I ask ye who will win the Premier League.
Oh.
I ask ye.
Good sir.
I raise my goblet to you.
Thou hast the manner and wit of an Oxfordian.
We have Chelsea with an ageing squad and a new manager who may very well do a Scolari on the team. There's Man United, who have lost Ronaldo on that money-grabbing twat, Tevez.
Hardly money-grabbing twat.
Which will make them considerably weak. Then there's Arsenal, who have lost half the African contingent to City. And finally, there's Liverpool, who are just shit.
I don't like the cut of this guy's jib. What's his name?
Jack C.
Jack C.
He's kind of...
Yeah, Jack C. That's a slang word for arse.
Yeah.
I think, on a more serious note, you could argue that every single team in the top four, apart from Chelsea, has been weakened.
Mm. It's an argument worth having.
Maybe for another time, but yeah, thanks for your email.
So who do we think?
Man United, I'm sorry, Man United. I think they're going to do it again.
Do you think?
Chelsea or Manchester United for me?
Joe, you've got to choose one, you greedy sodomite.
I'll go for Chelsea.
All right.
I think I might go for Chelsea as well.
There you go. Well, thanks for that.
I'm going to have Man United.
Here we go then.
Only because of Daniel Sturridge.
This is a good one. This is from a chap called Richard Napier, who, if you all saw, we were in 442 this month, which is great, and we're on page 24. And on the other side of the page was a little feature about anagrams. This guy, Richard Napier, has written a book of anagrams called My Gonads Raw, The Twisted World of Anagrams. And he's got a lot of football ones
in
there.
What is that, an anagram of My Gonads Raw?
I don't actually know.
Well, maybe it's not.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a red herring.
It would be a strange title for a book about anagrams. My Gonads Raw.
Who knows? But so he's got a lot of football ones in there. So Stoke's Andy Griffin is Frigid Fanny, eh?
And good one.
Fulham's Paul Konchesky is Holy Spunk Cake.
Wonderful.
But he's done some for us, so I'll read for you a couple of the best ones.
Yeah.
Now, Marcus Speller is chuffed to bits to get the call from Harry Redknapp. Why? Spurs recall me.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah,
my
very good.
Goodness.
Luke Moore declares his love for Hull. Emu looker. I think he means sort of Rod Hull there.
Okay, yeah.
James Campbell enjoys some Egyptian hospitality with the boy Mido. Sample Camel BJ. Hey!
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And Pete Donaldson responds to the question, who's your team and what's your favourite sexual position? Leeds and on top.
And, that is the best one.
And he says the best one is probably his favourite. Pete Donaldson is delighted with the success of the Football Ramble. Pod Leeds on net.
Good.
Very good.
I've been reading up how he actually does that. He writes the letters of the name in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
But I tried that.
Don't work.
It's bloody hard.
Have you got to use every letter, obviously?
Yeah, okay. Otherwise,
it's not well, anyway, thanks for that, Richard. It's very
that's
kind
superb,
of you.
Superb, Richard. Well
that's
done.
Richard Napier, and the book is called My Gonads Raw, published by Faber and Faber. And yes, it is my book of the week.
It is.
Marcus.
I endorse that all day long. Email here. Hello, Ramblers. I was watching the Community Shield when I realised that John Terry isn't actually that good. He was fought for United's first goal. That was the one that Nani shot across.
Oh, yeah, he got in the way, didn't he?
Got in the way.
Not massively. I think probably he had harsh. A lot to do.
He didn't really do anything of note, and the only reason people rate him is because he thinks he's hard.
I like that.
Views. P.S. You don't need a P.S. in an email.
Yeah.
Rio for England captain Sean Loughran. I agree with the Rio for England captain.
I think
people only rate him because he thinks he's hard.
Did you see someone ring into Chelsea TV pretending to be Mark Hughes the other day and got John Terry on the spot?
Really?
No. You see that? John Terry was doing like a question and answer thing on Chelsea TV, and this bloke rings up pretending to be Mark Hughes and says, I'm going to give you one last chance to sign for us, John. And John Terry just gets really embarrassed and starts going, oh, I can't, you know, Lampsey, kill me. And the guy goes, yeah, but Lampard, he's past it. Come with us. Come on.
Yeah.
And then it sort of cuts off.
It's bloody wave of the future, isn't it? I'll teach you how to do the Mark Hughes volley.
Yeah. But I don't think John Terry, I think he's probably going to be a little bit overrated. But
he's a good player.
He does get
he's a good player.
Carvalho does a lot of his work for him. I will say that much. Right.
A bit like you and I. Next email.
This is from Robert Hirsch, which is, I love that name.
Hirsch.
Sounds like a chocolate.
Great bit of work. Ramblers, I was watching the terrible, terrible Football League show on the iPlayer on Sunday.
That was all right. We thought it was all right.
Disagree with him already.
Yeah. And could not fail to notice that a number of clubs did not have a shirt sponsor. This annoyed me. surely in the current economic climate, taking a oneer from Big Frank's tyre shop is better than nothing.
A oneer.
We've all taken a oneer from him.
What? Are you telling me that if Sheffield Wednesday ran an open auction, no one would bid to put their company name on the shirt of the seventh best team in Sheffield? Honestly, sometimes I think football deserves to implode financially.
Oh, we touched on that a little bit earlier. I can't think of a reason why there wouldn't be a deal to be done to sponsor a shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, surely anything's better than nothing.
I think West Brom didn't have one last year in the Premiership anyway, but this year they did have one for some reason. And it's like kick racism at football or something crazy.
Well,
like
maybe because...
It's not crazy.
Maybe because...
It's a ridiculous
what sort of wacky idea is that? Anti-racism messages in football? Unbelievable stuff.
Oh, dear.
Me and Aquila.
Maybe. Do you want to divulge your checkered past with Aquilani right now? But maybe it was just much more expensive to sponsor in the Premier League, so they couldn't do it. It's a point worth noting. I don't think Sheffield Wednesday are the seventh best team in Sheffield. If they are, then Sheffield United are definitely the eighth best.
Ooh.
How much would we pay to
be on the shirts?
Fatboy Slim sponsored Brighton, didn't he? Skint Records or something. Yeah.
Do you know Oasis were going to sponsor Man City, but because of the Oasis clothing on, they couldn't have Oasis on the top, so they didn't do it.
Oh, that's a shame.
That was
it?
A while ago, obviously.
Yeah. Who will we sponsor? We'll sponsor.
What for that header? What about Doncaster?
I'll be up with that. Yeah. I'd love to sponsor Dean Windass's Darlington.
Ooh. Eh? Or MK Paul Ince's MK Don.
No. Not Paul Bloody.
Goes against everything I stand for.
Yeah.
Shoot. You got to say that when Paul Ince is involved.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you might not know what to do.
Exactly. The governor.
It's funny stories.
Oh, shall I start then?
Go on, you old sport.
He may not have the £6 million salary, the crisp designer suits, or the glittering trophies, but budding...
I thought you were talking about me until you said the trophies.
Oh, you've got a trophy. You won one the other week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, OK. But budding football manager Paul Watson's dream of leading a team to World Cup glory has come a step closer. Not really. I'll tell you why now in a minute. The 25-year-old is the youngest international football manager in history after being taken on by Pompey, a tiny Pacific island with a population of 34,000.
Pompey?
Not quite.
Little, you never win them.
Not as sunny. Less than half the capacity of Wembley Stadium. Sadly, Pompey is the only international side in the world to never have won a game. The closest the team came to victory was when they were beaten 5-4 on penalties. Ooh. By rival island Yap. Freelance sports writer Paul and his friend, student Matthew Conrad, also 25, had always fantasised about managing an international team but were completely lacking in experience. But after reading Pompey's dreadful record, the pair, who are both from London, decided to contact the footballing authorities to see if there was a vacancy. There was, and they are now drawing up a squad, arranging training, and have kitted players out in strips and that by Yeovil Town, Norwich City and Tottenham Hotspur. Our goal is to lead the players out to a World Cup and compete against the powerhouses of football, but for the short term, the aim is to actually win a game.
You just applied!
Is that not... Sorry about that, I'll just drop my pen. Is that not a job from heaven? You hear about jobs from hell? Well, that's a job from heaven.
Hang on a minute. So this country, just two chances went. Have you got any vacancies?
Well, I've given them a nod.
Just buy champ man. Don't worry about it.
Well, it'd be an amazing lifestyle, no? Sounds all right. 34.
Maybe that's how they got it, because people do that, don't they, on their CVs?
Yeah, yeah, they do.
When they're applying for jobs, they put down, oh, well, I've taken, like, Preston North End in the Champions League or Championship Manager. Yeah, well... As we're in the realm of real life now.
Here is a real life chap man. Here.
Oh, there you go.
Have some of that, chaps.
That's brilliant.
If this show gets to the tiny Pacific island of Pompey,
maybe we could
email
sponsor
in.
Them.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely do that. You can't sponsor could... national size, can you?
Well, nobody will know.
Who's watching them? 36,000 little fans at this.
The nearest time they came to winning the game was against another unknown island on penalties.
They lost 5-4.
They must have like loads of qualifying rounds to be able to get to a qualifying round.
They're probably not even FIFA affiliated. They might be.
No, they can't be because the island of Montserrat at the bottom of the...
Okay, right.
I think it's 205 registered nations in FIFA.
Okay, and they're not...
I say registered, I mean...
Confirmed or whatever.
Yeah, you know, in the hat.
Pretty good story. I'd love to hear more from them. So maybe try and get hold of them or something. Get them on.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Peter, you've got the next one.
I have, yeah, in my hands.
Go on, Peter, you shit.
Right. This story is entitled A Pants Performance. BBC One's new late night football league show was showing highlights of Saturday's Torquay versus Chesterfield game before suddenly cutting away to show images of a young blonde woman pulling down her underwear.
I didn't see that, but I wish I did.
I never saw
it wasn't on iPlayer, I know that. The film, the teen surf movie Blue Crush, showed actress Kate Bosworth in the cubicle and a group of other girls coming in to use the bathroom. Luckily for fans who were tuned in to see highlights of the opening day encounter from the Plainmoor Stadium, the glitch didn't mean that any goals were missed, and programmes did quickly cut back to highlights of the following game featuring Potvale and Rochdale. However, the interruption did cut out the post-match interviews and a series of half chances. A spokesman for the BBC apologised to viewers and said this was a technical hitch.
A technically awesome hitch. Yeah. Woman's panties.
Yeah, amazing.
Zing, zing, amazing. Zing. I remember when the BBC, after every kind of World Cup or European Championships at Christmas, they do like a highlights package on the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Often
like
presented by, you know, the glorious man that is Barry Davis.
Yeah.
And, highlights package!
And, interesting, very interesting.
Oh, it's been edited.
love him. And I've still got it on tape.
It's, look at her pants! Just look at her pants!
She's taking her pants off!
Yeah,
what's
good.
Going to happen here?
Oh, Blue Crush! but if I may continue.
Sorry, yeah.
It was the 1994 World Cup highlights package, and my brother had clearly put the tape in to record something. And so just when, I don't know if you remember, when Italy beat Spain 2-1,
yeah. No.
Dino Badger scored a peach.
Yeah.
It was like a 25-yarder, the first goal. And just now, if you watch it, he winds up to hit it, and suddenly Zach Morris and Screech appear out of nowhere.
That did actually happen.
Yeah. Oh, did it?
Yeah, Zach Morris called a timeout.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
everyone
yeah.
stopped, and then Dino yeah. Badger was able to whack it.
And Screech was like, holy crap, it's soccer!
And Mr. Belding, like, tutted the ball.
Mr.
50
Belding.
Yards.
Class.
Class.
Yeah, and so that goal's not there. So whoever watched that programme, I know what they mean.
Presumably your video player and brother aren't national broadcasters, are they?
So it's not the excuse. Masters. It's not like losing all those Doctor Who's in the 50s.
I can provide empathy.
You know what it's like to have things cut off in their prime. You know, Rochdale versus Port Vale. I reckon most people would prefer to see the ladies' pants.
Fortunately, though, the video does resume just in time for the Baggio winner in that Spain game.
And that's
Roberto Baggio.
All's well that ends well.
Just about, Luke, just about. Yeah. But I don't want anybody taping over my highlights again.
No.
These are my highlights.
Yeah.
Journey with me through time and space.
It's profile time. Marcelo Salas.
Oh, straight in there.
Yeah.
Straight in there. No prompting.
I was confused then. I didn't know what was going on.
Save your confusion for after the show.
Yeah.
Chilean legend Marcelo Salas. Born December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1974.
A few years after the Summer of Love.
No, not 9 years. 7 years.
After the Summer of Love.
Seven years after.
He's won the sperm race.
Well, that probably, not probably, definitely Chile's most famous player.
Mm.
Ivan Zamorano might have issue with that, but I'm going to say it's Salas. Nicknamed El Matador.
Killer.
Which translated as the killer. He was he started his career in his native Chile, and he was a product of the Deportes Temuco youth team. I've been to Temuco.
Have you?
His hometown.
No. Is there a statue of him or anything?
We didn't finish it. But it looked more like me than him.
Did Aquilani nick it?
But
actually, you look a bit like Salas.
Do I?
He's got a bit of Salas about him, I think, yeah.
He's got, if he had, like, sort of a bit of product in his hair, a bit more product.
Bit more?
Yeah.
Mm. I think you were right by saying a bit of.
Yeah, he ain't got any at all at the moment, has he?
Don't need any, do I?
No.
Not broke, don't fix it. But Salas, he started his career, his professional career, with Universidad de Chile. And
Clarence Acuna's old team.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah. And he had an immediate impact there. He helped them win back-to-back titles in 94 and 95. Had 75 appearances, scored 50 goals. So, a good goal-scoring record for them. Caught the eye of some of the big sides in South America, and he moved in 1996 to River Plate. So we're talking big boys here.
Yeah.
Of course, in the Argentinian leagues. And this was met by some criticism by the Argentinian press, because a Chilean-born player had never really made an impact in Argentina. Even Maradona piped up.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah, and he was... I think Maradona was partly annoyed because... Boca Juniors had kind of scouted him a bit.
Okay,
so yeah. River had nicked him, so... Okay. Yeah, rubber, didn't want him anyway.
Well, Boca has certainly got the reputation of having the best scouting network and stuff, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so, he joined River Plate, but he soon won the Argentine fans over. He had a huge impact there with River Plate on one of their... On a couple of great ones. And from 96 to 98, he scored 26 goals in 51 games, and they won the Argentine leagues and the Supercopa in 97. So, he won them all over, won the press over, won the fans over, which is a huge achievement, really, because, as they say, Chilean-born players tend not to do that well there.
Okay.
So he's done very well there. Now, it was at this time, 97 kind of into 98, that's when he was playing really good stuff for Chile. He was up front with Ivan Zamorano.
Well, that's when they murked England at Wembley.
Well, yeah, they did. Zamorano, I mean, of course, played for Inter and Real, so they had two quality strikers there who had a great partnership. Mm. And you're right, in a friendly before the World Cup, I think it was, Chile went to Wembley and people thought, well, that should be a routine one. And
one of them was a Bergkamp-esque goal, a long ball over the top, onto his thigh,
and boom,
volleyed it. I think those two were like a certain level above a lot of the other team. The rest of the Chilean team,
around that time, they had a good team.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, say that, but in 98, they qualified for the World Cup. Salah scored four goals in four matches.
Yeah, he scored every match, didn't he?
Against Italy in the opening game. Mm. They've really scared them. They were 2-1 up. Italy scored and then Salas hit them, boom, twice.
Yeah.
And it was only a dubious penalty in the last 5 minutes from Roberto Baggio that saved Italy's blushes there.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, do you remember the first... Oh, hang on. Was it the second goal against Italy? One of the goals where he scored that header where he out-jumped the defender.
Yeah, he had a real sprig on him.
Yeah, he was only about 5'8", 5'9", is Salas. But
you seem the height to yourself, Mark.
Tall.
Yeah, exactly. Again. Once again. and a similar record. at international level. after the World Cup, his performance in Argentina at the World Cup, he was seen by the big European sides. He turned down a move to Manchester United, I believe. And Lazio came in for him for about, I think it was about £15 million. It's about $18 million at the time.
I remember him as a Lazio player.
Yeah, absolutely. He went there. And that was really when he played possibly his best football.
He must have been there about four or five seasons.
He was there for three seasons,
Okay.
He helped them win the Cup Winners' Cup in 99, which I think was the last Cup Winners' Cup.
At Villa Park. Yeah, good.
He won the Italian Cup and he won the European Super Cup. He also, though, they hadn't won the league, Lazio, I think, since 73-74. They hadn't won the Serie A title, and he won the Serie A title with them. Which is a wonderful achievement.
I mean, they're not the most likeable club, Lazio, but I do remember Marcelo Salas as being a Lazio player.
Yeah, and we all like Sky Blue, so we'll let them off for that one.
Yeah, all right.
But he played 117 times for Lazio, scored 48 goals. Towards the end of his Lazio career, there's a few off-field problems and a couple of things going on. So he moved on to Juventus.
Injured, was he? Injured, wasn't he?
Well, I think he started becoming injured.
Knee problems, obviously,
yeah.
To remember.
But he was sold to Juventus for £8.2 million, plus Kovacevic, Darko Kovacevic.
Yeah, yeah.
Ex-Sheffield Wednesday.
He was a good player, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't have a good time there. He was hampered by injuries, as you say. He only played about 18 games, and he only just scored the two goals. So, didn't really do too well at Juventus. Injuries and one thing and another. He was there for a little while. Was involved. Juventus did win the league when he was there. But again, his participation wasn't...
I still remember he was very good at penalties. He was like... Right in the middle, right at the top, and he used to smash his pens, didn't he?
So he went back to River Plate, his beloved River Plate, and again a few injuries and so on. He scored 17 goals in 43 matches from there, and he considered retiring from football, but he decided that he would carry on with River, and they got to the semi final of the Copa Libertadores, and they lost to the eventual champion Sao Paulo. So he kind of had a good go at River there towards the end of his career. And then he went back to Universidad de Chile, which was... He started at... In Chile, in Universidad, went to River, went to Europe, then back to River, back to Universidad. It's kind of...
like a mirror.
It could be said.
And it has been said.
I'm glad someone said.
So in July 05, he did return to his original team, Universidad de Chile, and the fans absolutely loved it there. They massive reception to him.
What I would do if I was a professional footballer. I'd go back to Pompey at the end of my career.
He retired around this time from the national team as well in 2005. In 2006, he was released from Universidad by the law-imposed administration.
They went into administration. They couldn't afford to pay his wages or something, probably something like that.
So he was released, and the fans and everybody associated with the team were up in arms about this, as you can imagine. Now, Salas then went into kind of like a six-month period where he didn't actually play. So after that period, he did sign a contract with Universidad. He managed to go back there for a year and a half, roughly. So bearing in mind, he's taken 6 months out of the game, and he's you know, in his early 30s then, and so he's gone back into it, playing in Chile, and then he expressed a desire to return to the Chilean national team, and he hadn't played since 2005.
Not really a choice, is it?
Which, again, after a six-month...
Not really a decision, though, is it?
Well, that's
right. You just turn up. Yeah, I'm interested in playing for you lot again. Do you mind?
Well... But he did, though, and
he's proven me wrong.
Yeah, and they had two exhibition matches, and he played in both of them. And then he impressed, he was back on form, and he played in the first four games of the qualifying campaign for this coming World Cup.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is quite remarkable, really. And they went away to Uruguay, did Chile, where they'd never picked up a point before. And they drew two all, and he scored both goals.
Oh, class. Rolling back the years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Cracking.
And at this time, he scored 37 goals for his country, and he beat Zamorano's record. So he's the highest scorer in the history of the national team of Chile. But he did, however, announce his retirement on November 26, 2008, at the age of 33. And fortunately, they did have a farewell game for him a few months ago, and they invited lots of his former teammates from River Plate, from Juventus. I think David Trezeguet played amongst others.
Oh yeah,
in Chile, and they had a crowd of over 60,000 people to pay him one final salute, and everybody wore the number 11 shirt in homage to him. Yeah, and he scored a hat trick.
Of course he did.
He's now the owner of a new third division club called Union Temuco. Again, keeping it. Local where he was
keeping
born.
It real.
Absolutely. So, yeah, a number of honours there in quite a career for old Marcelo Salas. And he summed it up at the end. He said, I quit happy. I am done. I only have words of thanks for everybody. What a guy.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
And with that, he's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
I love his nonchalant quote at the end.
Yeah,
he's normally got a deep and thoughtful thing. Oh, I've had enough of that now. Brilliant. Cheers.
Can't wait for the next one.
See you later. I've been nice hopping on a bus.
I'll tell you what, Marcelo Salas, get in.
Get in there, son.
Beautiful.
Probably won't get in the starting 11, but you keep working hard and training.
Well, isn't the Chile team quite good now, anyway? They're like second
in
Brazil
second,
in their group.
The second.
And the manager goes to zoos to get tactical tips, apparently.
What? Like,
the zookeeper?
Yeah, he's just mental. Like,
that's class.
He won't talk to the press, but he'll talk to children.
That's brilliant, that is. But I tell you what, though, Salas, he's played a part in that qualifying campaign.
He's sowed the seeds.
I'd love to see him in the squad if they qualify. It'd be amazing.
He's gone. He's gone.
Come on. Who could resist?
How old would he be?
He's 36. He's 34 now.
Oh, come on.
He's only 35.
Right.
It's not outrageous.
Well,
Sheena retired at 36, and he was rubbish at the end.
Well, if they get there, we'll start a campaign.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of this week's Football Ramble. I hope you've enjoyed.
Yes!
I hope you've all enjoyed
it. We've all got homes to go to, Peter.
If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble. We have a group on Facebook. And we are operating on Twitter. Luke, what's happening with the website?
Oh yeah, you might not be able to get through on the email at the moment because it's a bit of a website transition going on. We're moving to a new site. Should be done by the time you hear this, but if not, that's why. So bang one of us a Facebook message or something if you can't get through. But the new website's on its way and it'll be up by the new season. So Saturday.
I think I speak on behalf of humankind when we say we're all looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Au revoir.
We're all off to the zoo to get some hints. practical tips and advice. Bye.
It's rubbish out, James, isn't it? What?
Nothing. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.